My family and I were stopped at a stoplight on a highway, and all of a sudden I see a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. I felt, I can handle all the calls, I know the story, I know how to talk to the insurance agents. It added up to be too much, and I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. You shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you.
So I was on my motorcycle, heading home, is going through this intersection, and this car just turns left in front of me. They said they didn't see me, obviously, and I hit them broadside, flew over the car, and landed, broke my arm, busted my shoulder. It wasn't good. Luckily, I had my helmet on, but yeah, I was mad. So a buddy told me to call the advocates, but you know, I've always been skeptical of lawyers, right? But I called them. They were cool. They listened to me, and they were on my side for sure. They took care of everything. They're a good group of people. They helped me get what I deserved. They worked with the insurance companies. They got everything paid for. They fight for you, and they're going to go for the win.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. I totally get that bikers are independent, but when someone else causes a crash, you need a team as tough as you. Give us a call.
We think radical acceptance, like there's levels to radical acceptance, right? There is the, oh, I'm acknowledging this person or this thing is no longer an option on the table, right? Like this is lost.
Right, right.
But it's not only that, it's the constant letting go of what you believe is supposed to be.
Supposed to be, yeah.
Right? Like, and that is what grief challenges to do, because every so often, like, think about breakups, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if they would have just seen me this way.
Yeah.
I remember I went through a breakup a couple of years ago, and I often didn't place blame on the other person, but I just was, like, constantly fixated on, well, if I was able to do this in this way, and then if they would have just told me this ahead of time, then I would have been able to, instead of just acknowledging, well, this is where we are at,
this is what happened.
Because of the factors, regardless of how I want to change them, these breadcrumbs laid out this way to create this particular scenario.
We are back on the couch of the Chronicles.
Metaphoric couch.
As we are all in singular chairs.
Chairs every time. All right, fam. Welcome back. I am Judalyn.
I'm Sparkle Ty.
Stephanie.
All right. We're going to have a continuation of part two of last week's topic. But before we do that, we're going to, as we normally do, start with a mindfulness. And I'll be guiding today.
Thank you.
And ladies, what I want us to do is we're going to do three cleansing breaths. And I'm going to repeat a phrase out loud. And as you inhale, the phrase that I repeat, inhale it internally to yourself. As you exhale, repeat the phrase internally to yourself. Good deal?
Gotcha.
And then I'll walk us through. All right. So get into your position that is comfortable to you and your body. You could choose to keep your eyes closed, or you can choose to have a low gaze. And in this moment, I just want you to come into the space that we are in. We're gonna inhale. May this breath be my guide. We're gonna exhale. May I be present. We're gonna inhale. I wasn't made to be perfect. We're gonna exhale. I'm not a burden. We're gonna inhale. I'm a gift. We're gonna exhale. I am love. As we take the time You're going to inhale the phrase that feels most comfortable to you, watching the rising and falling of your chest, connecting with your body. Notice how it feels as you inhale, you are a gift. As you exhale, you are love. Notice what thoughts come to you. Notice the tension you may feel in your body or comfortability. And we're just going to sit with ourselves, using the phrase as our anchor, as we take deep breaths, watching the rising and falling of our chest, and just connecting to this moment. Being mindful of the sound that you hear, the smell that you smell, the thoughts that you notice as they make their way into your mind, using your breath as your anchor to bring you to the present, to be your guide as you come into this space. Notice this might be the first time you sat with yourself today. The first time you experience you this moment. Taking in the message you're receiving from your body, from your environment, and bringing it back to you. As our practice comes to an end, we're going to do a nice cleansing breath, inhaling through our nose. I am a gift. Exhale. I am love. At your time, whenever you're ready, come back to the room and open your eyes. All right, lady. What did you notice?
I noticed the environment presented me with quite a few sounds, which I definitely had some judgments about and like kind of took me away from your voice at some points. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the exercise, I was definitely tuned in to like really breathing in those words, releasing some of the things that you were saying, particularly the ones around like, I am loved. And I think there was another one at the beginning that you said now is escaping me, but I felt
I'm
very,
not a burden.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I felt really grounding to like say those things to myself in the moment.
Good deal. Good deal.
When I was doing the mindfulness, I noticed my mind was presenting me a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Yes, the environment had sounds and things that I kind of registered, but my own internal climate was providing me with a lot of things that were very exciting for my mind. But I was able to bring myself back to your voice over and over again. And I didn't have any judgment around how many times I had to be intentional about bringing myself back. Mm-hmm. I did notice that I had some kind of like predictive behaviors, or I guess a predictive thought around where you were going to go initially. I thought we were just going to repeat the same statements or affirmations again. And then when we didn't, between the first and the second time, I was able to just bring myself back to like what you were saying, catch myself kind of doing that and just move on. with the statement, but I do felt a lot of like just relief around I am a gift.
Yeah.
You know, and just really kind of like taking that in and I am loved.
Yeah.
And want like really feeling a sense of like, oh, I like this.
Yeah.
Judgment showing up.
Yeah. Okay. Good deal. Good deal. Did any of you notice any physical sensation with your body?
I noticed some like tingling in my hands. And I also noticed like, I think at the beginning, my throat and chest were a little bit tight. And as we went into the exercise further, I was kind of able to feel this like release or push.
Okay, good.
The fan, I could definitely feel that on my legs, on my arms, on my chest. If that was the sensation that showed up for me. A little bit of aches or tension like around my feet area, ankle area. And just now that we're speaking, noticing sensations in my stomach that are kind of coming and going, but not anything that's unpleasant.
Yeah. What was it like for you?
Leading it was like, I, of course, the environment was distracting me, but I brought myself to my words and then the anchor. And I also found a sense of relief. As I said, I'm not a burden. And there's a physical sensation of a smile of I'm a gift, I'm loved. And the thought of, you know, that to be true about yourself kind of went into the space for me. And other than that, yeah, I enjoyed this practice. I did it recently and feel like kind of goes, you know, it's a bonus to continue our conversation of like ourselves and loving on ourselves and knowing who we are.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you for offering, friend.
Yes, I appreciate that.
You talked about us getting back into our conversation about grief.
Yes, because we couldn't just do like a part one about grief, because grief is, it's so multifaceted.
I got into the car with a drunk driver. I don't really remember much, but I do remember waking up with the car on its side and just hurting. I mean, I'd hurt my neck, I'd hurt my back. The worst part was my leg was shattered. I really didn't know what to feel. I knew that I'd gotten in the car with the drunk driver. That felt like that was my mistake, but I wasn't the one driving and I wasn't the one that caused the accident, so I really wasn't sure how to feel. I talked to my mom and she ended up recommending just calling the advocates. Even though it was complicated and I felt like maybe I'd made a mistake or I felt guilty, there was zero judgment from them. I felt like they were always on my side and they were always doing what was best for me. Really, it gave me my life back. I was able to stop replaying all the decisions I made and I was able to just move forward and really start rebuilding my life because the advocates really took care of everything.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. If guilt is keeping you from getting help, just call us. We'll represent you and remind you that you deserve justice.
Yeah. Right, because in the first episode, we talked about death grief. I think this episode, we want to cover more of things that are not death related, such as like last episode, Steph, you alluded to fertility, you alluded to friendships ending, Tyler.
Right,
transitioning, and also jobs. Like a sense of identity, jobs. All these things are things that we're going through constant grief all the time. And we may not identify it as grief or believe it to be grief, but if it's changed, if it's causing us strong emotions, or if it's a disruptive in our routine that we're mourning something that was or wasn't, I think it's worth also talking about that part of grief that people don't really cover. Because people hear grief and they just assume someone or something died. And it is
the death of something.
Death, but it's just not the death of a physical human or an animal per se.
Just, I think the term they use is non-death loss, right? Like, because it does not relate it to the biological elimination of someone, but it definitely, like you said, speaks to the cutting off, the abruptness, the ending of something. Or sometimes people have kind of held a certain career or maybe been in a relationship like marriage, right? For a really long time. And then divorce or separation or, you know, someone dies But we're looking more along the lines of like, I'm no longer this person. So the death of that perception. Life, exactly. The death of those responsibilities, those demands, that role that I played, and then the rebirth of a new me. Yeah. And that often comes with going back and forth around if that life was a better life. Did I make, the right choice and so on and so forth. I think there's a lot more, I think, questioning of self in a different way that shows up when there's non-death losses than when there is that kind of like biological death.
I agree. Sure. I think a lot of non-death losses will have some sort of like piece of your identity attached to it.
For sure.
And so that shift can be really jarring and like really change your world. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's the one theme here that we've talked about in all the different groups that we discuss is that grief will change you.
Yes.
It will change who you are.
Yeah.
So being able to be open to that is also a part of like how to cope with grief, like being open to the change.
Well, I'm going to ask a question you always ask us. What is one of our first, or what is an experience of a non-death grief that we experience ourselves?
Could we say recent versus maybe going back into the past?
It could be first time. It could be both, whatever.
Breakups are ones that I find that are really earth shattering to me. I find that I haven't had a lot of like losses in jobs that I didn't like initiate, in certain ways where I just like chose to transition to the next place in a peaceful way, in a way that I was in control. So I didn't really have a challenge with that in where it comes to that. But when it came to breakups, when it comes to intimate relationships that aren't romantic, that kind of like abruptly end, like work friendships, my even acquaintances at times, like not seeing them or connecting with them, best friends, that would be for me is when it's quite, can be earth shattering because that person, you spend time, energy, you create hopes and dreams together, experiences together, shared emotions, all of those things. And then that part of you is ripped. Yeah. I think about it, like if I look at my life as like a book full of like pages and like if we look at like relationships that I've lost as like rips from a page, I feel like I have quite a few
pages
that are just ripped.
Yeah.
Just like you'll see in this rip.
And why you think you identifying as ripping and not
and turning the page?
Because to me, it felt like because there was an abrupt, unresolved kind of just pulling of that. That's what it feels like. It's almost like I can picture it in my mind as that person going and like the seams just.
So I'm hearing more from you that like your grief maybe is kind of triggered by this feeling of like unexpectedness, like being abrupt or like
abandonment would be more. I think now that as you were saying that, I felt like even the imagery that I was kind of using, it is more of just a pulling away, of self that I think that when I was talking about in the last episode that I just normalized that like that's something that will happen. I'm someone who brings others together or does certain things, but I'm ripped out of the page in a certain way. So
I do. Non-death grief. I would say that like my perception of myself is probably like one of the biggest non-death grief.
Talk a little bit more about that.
I would say that I kind of grew up in a space, I think I've talked about this before, I kind of grew up in a more rigid space where like there were definitely expectations laid out for me. Like, this is what you're going to do. You're going to act like this. You're going to go to school. You're going to graduate. Right. You're going to do X, Y, and Z. And I never kind of fit into that.
Yeah.
So I found myself kind of morphing into like whatever other people expected of me. And when I got to a point where I was like burnt out from people pleasing and like showing up how other people wanted me to be versus like the way that I genuinely was like authentic to myself. There was a level of grief around like making that shift to be more authentically myself because there was safety in showing up in the way people that was desirable, right? So there was some safety there. So though it was my choice, it wasn't necessarily like a abrupt thing that happened to me. there was still like mourning that occurred.
Mm-hmm. Because there was there's that inclusivity. Because like you said, that there's safety in the inclusivity.
Knowing that I would be isolated or further othered, which was like one of my biggest fears growing up.
Yes.
Not being included.
Yeah.
Okay. For me, I guess I'm going to talk something about more recent, which is why I kind of brought up the topic, is, I think, fertility.
Mm-hmm.
It was around that. You know, you briefly talked about that and also having clients who've experienced it. I think with clients, I acknowledge that it was grief for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think me experiencing it myself, I never conceptualized in my brain that it was grief until... I think I had a moment away from everything and realized you're grieving your body not doing what it's supposed
to do. Right, what you expected.
Mm. Yeah, and you did everything like you normally would with every task in your life that you've done. Why is the result different? And understanding and there was a sense of anger and frustration, I think, towards myself and my body around what is wrong with you and also... noticing that I'm not the only experience. That doesn't mean, though there's a plan B, right? But the plan A sometimes you're so invested in the plan A that even though you already had a plan B, that the plan A, you still have to mourn that plan A is no longer a plan.
And acknowledge that plan A is no longer an option without all of the things that we place onto, because it's you're not this, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're not doing that.
Yeah,
because in relation to the clients that I have had the privilege of counseling, they have similar experience of why me?
Mm-hmm.
What, like, and they're, for even those who have that spiritual aspect, it's like, what's message can I garner for this? Like, kind of like what you had said before in the last episode where you were researching and trying to find the message.
Yeah.
And sometimes it is just the release of finding out the cause or the meaning
searching.
Or
you like always get the why
or even like feeling like once you get the why it's going to be enough to like
get fill
that investment and get rid of that pain all of those kind of like different things. I remember
because it wasn't only I think for me it was like okay I accept it, this is fine. Even my husband is like super supportive, it was like we're fine, this is always like. And I think I was like, okay, I'm good. Like, I'm done with it. Yeah, and then it's not until you realize. So, you know, for me, the way that my avoidance show up is I dive into
work
and I make impulse agreement to commitment to things just to...
fill your time. Not
exactly. So realizing that I can still accept something and accepting it doesn't mean I can't grieve it.
Yeah.
And making... Yeah. Understanding now there's room for both to exist.
Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting too. Like in my experience, not only was I perhaps grieving some sense of self, I definitely think that people that benefited from me being more of a people pleaser have also been grieving that aspect of me. And I like that you said that, you know, just because it's something that you accept doesn't mean that you can't grieve, because I think that I have been kind of feeling some type of way about like, oh, you can't accept me because I'm not doing something for you.
Right.
And in reality, like they probably do accept who I am.
Right.
And can still feel the loss of you not having that role that you used to hold for them.
Not having that role or not meeting that expectation.
I think also like one of the things that I thought about when it comes to grief is the radical acceptance. But I think we think radical acceptance, like there's levels to radical acceptance, right? There is the, oh, I'm acknowledging this person or this thing is no longer an option on the table, right? Like this is lost.
Right, right.
But it's not only that, it's the constant letting go of what you believe is supposed to be, right? Like, and that is what grief challenges to do. Because every so often, like think about breakups, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they would have just seen me this way.
Yeah.
I remember I went through a breakup a couple of years ago and I often didn't place blame on the other person, but I just was like constantly fixated on, well, if I was able to do this in this way, and then if they would have just told me this ahead of time, then I would have been able to, instead of just acknowledging, well, this is where we are at because of the factors, regardless of how I want to change them, these breadcrumbs laid out this way to create this particular scenario. Mm-hmm. And that within itself is sad. Yeah. I can feel sad and helpless and powerless that there were things that I could have done and I couldn't. And that's okay for me to sit with that.
Right, right. And also with divorce and ending of relationships and things like that, there's so much identity and expectation attached to any relate when we form any relationship, right? And when the end goal, like we talk about, is not the end goal of the expectation, it's you get very fused of, why didn't it work? Or this is why didn't it work? And it goes into self.
Why?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It is you chase the why and understanding that in relationships, we are, the change is the constant, you said last episode, right? And if change is the constant, we also need to come to that acceptance of, hey, maybe I change as well. It's not just a person change.
No, for sure.
Maybe the needs and the expectations in a relationship
change.
Maybe the values are not, or change in terms of, you all may still have the same values, but maybe they're not in alignment in this season.
In the same, that, exactly, in this season. And it's okay for me to feel sad that they did not align.
Right,
and the season has changed and has felt the way that it has. Because I agree with you, in those couple of years, a lot of me was just feeling a lot of anger at the helplessness I felt around not being able to solve the things now that I was aware of what the problem was in this particular way.
Exactly.
Or, you know, when you're thinking of like that meaning piece, think about it, it's the ego. It's the ego trying to kind of like make sense or like really feel settled in a way that it won't be settled.
Yeah.
And also, grief peaks into our own insecurities.
Yes, it does. Especially non-death.
Non-death.
Because that sense of identity is shifted. So there's for sure insecurities around like uncertainty.
Yeah, because think about if you lose a job or if you get fired from a job. It's that whole sense of inadequacy that shows up when really
I'm not enough. So here's another thing that hasn't gone
well,
right?
Exactly.
Like that, the messages that we heard from maybe our third grade teacher who said that we weren't going to be anything.
Exactly.
Like all of that stuff starts to like, again, it's a crumbling of it. Yeah. Think about what you thought about when you said about the infertility.
What
body is supposed to do, right? Like it's that thing of like, what's going on with me? Like I'm a and then the identity as a woman. And then all of this stuff starts to just fall and you know away. I should have done this. I should have done that.
Yeah, and I became, it was so crazy because I became numb to it because pregnancy is all around me. I have clients who's going to IVF that are successful.
Yeah.
I'm even, you know, friends who, like, I'm consulting all these things.
Yeah.
And I think when I accept my infertility, I tend to go to a place of desensitizing myself, like numbing myself to every experience and really compartmentalizing, this is their stuff, let me focus on their stuff, and do the suppression of my own, right? And we tend to do that part of my insecurity show up around, like, you defective.
That's a solid one. You are defective. That's a really great term because the defective, I think, very much shows up for folks when that non-death kind of loss kind of shows up there for you. How did that impact you, that numbness with the clients and the people that you show up for?
Now, I can see how it impacts me. I think then, I'm doing my job. This is not about you.
But what did you
sense?
See that
so
was missing or not?
What I saw was missing is that there's a sense of like relatable. Like my clients always feel related to me.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that I hide that part.
So that was a wall.
So that was a wall in terms of I'm sure, you know, the processing would have been more inviting or more... I feel like effective.
Welcome to explore.
Yeah, to explore more instead of when the walls build up in a sense of, okay, like, Miss Altima, I hear you. Like, they get it. But sometimes there's a relatability that our clients want to feel in the therapeutic relationship that I now, after I come to terms with my own grieving around it, as I opened up to a couple clients of mine about my own, there's a safety now they feel in being vulnerable, whatever emotions show up in that session. So I'm in gratitude for that, and also acknowledge the human in me to protect myself.
Of course. Because visually in my mind, I think about it like, in before you acknowledged and accepted your own grief around, you know, infertility, or excuse me, the fertility things, it's almost like you were sitting on the bench with them, but you were on one side, they were on the other. Then once you acknowledged what was you were experiencing as just nothing more than a human experience of grief, you then started to sit next to them in the process, which is a whole different perspective, right? I think oftentimes we are taught as therapists to sit on the bench, and that is enough. And we're starting to see that maybe there's a bit more.
There's need for the co-regulation.
Exactly.
There's need for that community, even in the one-on-one therapy space. We're not robots. We're not fake. We're not, we're people who need to be with each other, be in community with each other, and recognize that, like, we heal best that way. Picture being isolated from the group when you already feeling isolated.
Grief does isolate you, right? When you feel like nobody can actually relate to your experience. Specifically dealing with identity, right? When we're transitioning into our authentic self, whatever that looks like for that moment, it's a sense of fear and isolation that goes into, like, that self-preservation. You can talk more about, like, well, I've given so much of me
now
that this is a part of that's for me. So therefore, if you can't accept me, if you can't accept my experience, right? So let me keep you at bay. But then let me just protect my, let me just create a world for myself.
And I think that that protection for me has definitely looked like not sharing my experience. Even this setting is for sure, like, I'm grateful for it, because I feel like a lot of people don't even really know my experience. They kind of just perceive me however
as one
they
way.
Do.
As the in the way that you also put up, right? Because that's what I want you to do, and not noticing you're not being like the authentic self that you know that's naturally you. What about around, what also come to mind as it relates to identity is that, how do people accept the fact that they are changing and their normal is not the normal that
there's grief
they
with
expect?
That. Yeah, like there's like, grief and hesitancy, fear, avoidance.
Or even not knowing yourself. A lot of people say, I don't know myself. So what does that mean? What does that say about me that I don't know who I am? I'm this age.
I'm 30 years old. Or, why do I not know this?
So like, how do you cope with
I think
that?
Another way to maybe even reframe that is what I'm hearing is that you're at a place where you want to learn more about yourself. You're curious about who you are now. You have recognized that maybe you've kind of like outgrown what used to just work, right? Think about it like a winter coat that after a few seasons, you're like, wait, it's not really fit. I don't know what the style is. I don't know what is. This coat has been secure, has been warm, has been doing its job for this amount of time, but I don't really know what is out there. What is the new fashion? What is the warm material? And that's okay. Then we're at a place of exploration. Right?
That curiosity, I think, is how
curiosity. Another mentor had said once that, like, human beings, when we were young, exploring and experimenting is how we learned and how we kind of went through life. Our environment taught us to not do those things. Stop experimenting. Stop trying. You're too old to do that thing. Like, oh, aren't you? You know, right? You're too mature. Like, only young people do those things, right? Like, so oftentimes our society will give us this messaging that, like, we're supposed to stay the same. So it makes sense that when we feel like it doesn't fit anymore, oh my gosh, like yeah. I've failed the game. Like
I feel disoriented.
Like, I don't know what else to do because this was supposed to be enough and it isn't. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think we kind of talked in the last episode about some things that we can do for ourselves or that you can do for yourself when you are experiencing grief. I think that those would definitely align with like death grief or non-death, right? Mm-hmm. Like trying to find some ways to like honor that experience, honor what was, and also be open to receiving what is.
Yeah.
But how do you go about supporting someone that is experiencing grief?
Non-judgmentally comes to mind.
Yeah.
Openness, right? I think sometimes we get caught up in the comfortability and nuances of like, oh, this is who that person is. And maybe they're trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
So catching yourself with your own expectation of what you believe to be true about that person or that situation and just come from that experience of like, you know what, my bad. It seems like, I may not be able to relate or understand. What space can I provide for you just to listen? Yeah. Or can you be opening to learning and educating? I'm learning to understand, and I learned this from my child too. Like, I'm learning that sometimes it's okay to say you don't know this lived experience that the person having, but
I can also have
the acknowledgement, like I'm willing to learn and understand.
I understand that you feel hurt.
Yeah.
I think that you definitely brought up a great point around that. I think that oftentimes people struggle to support others who are grieving, whether it's death or non-death, because of their own discomfort.
Yes.
When my grandma passed, there was a lot of like close people to me that didn't check in like how I expected them to, or like, I mean, like my partner was great, but she definitely had to learn how to help me in that situation because there was a lot of discomfort in our home.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get up. I didn't want to shower. Like I didn't want to do anything throughout the day. And it's hard to like see your partner in that way.
Yeah,
but it was a part of me needing to just, I think that that was my body's way of telling me I need to slow down. Yeah. I don't think that it was something that I was going to be feeling forever or be stuck in.
Yeah.
But for her, it was so uncomfortable. I didn't feel like it was going to be forever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Because I think people do feel like sometimes when you're in the thick of it, in the thick of grieving, it does feel like a forever feeling.
Yeah.
You knew it wasn't going to be
I knew
forever.
That it would pass. But at that time, I think that that was just like, I know that if my body didn't physically put me down, I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to stop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sure. But my partner had to kind of learn that, like, you don't need to do anything about this except for be with me.
And I think that's the part where people feel helpless.
Yeah.
Is that it's a need to fix it.
Yes.
You know, not putting my husband on the line, but in a sense of, like, you know, we got a plan. You'll be okay. Like, you need to get through this. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I had to tell him, baby, I just want to tell you how I was feeling. I just want to tell you where I'm at. Like, it does bother me to some capacity. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember he was like, you know, you have 4 bonus children. You have this. All of it is true.
Trying to confirm that, like, you know, don't
feel
that way.
I experienced motherhood with Sophie, like, that blessing, right? And there's still a mourning of this expectation of this thing.
Exactly.
You know, there's this thing that even at a very young age I was scared of. It's like, that is no longer going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think him hearing me saying, just give me a space, space when I need it, was enough, like, give him an idea what he needed to do. Sometimes it is teaching the people that we're with, like, this
and
is what I
and constantly communicating that. Because the other thing is, I find, is sometimes the partner is open and willing and is very patient.
Yeah.
But there's inevitably going to be caregiver fatigue,
support
fatigue. And I think another thing that the partner wants to kind of like make space for is when you have kind of like maxed out your pace. Like, it's okay for you not to have any in the tank. It's okay for you not to be able to hear.
Yeah.
You know, I can't hear about this again, babe, you know, like right now, or, you know, not at this particular moment, I'll return back to you. And it can feel to the person who's feeling grief, like you're leaving me, you're not understanding. It could feel that way. But this is where you guys kind of discuss like the parameters of like what each person needs when they're experiencing grief and when they're supporting somebody with grief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I find for me, I'm someone who will kind of like, I'm a bit more reserved and I will be a little bit more in what I call standby. Mm-hmm. I'm not completely just like down and off, but I'm just not on the same level of like excitement and participation. I'm just not fully there, right? But that is very stark and different than my like regular.
Yeah, I think that's what it was for me too.
You know, so people don't really know how to deal with that. And that is going to breed uncertainty. And that's okay that you're feeling uncomfortable about how to handle me and not sure. And it maybe brings up certain things for you, because that's what it felt like in the relationship that I was telling you guys that ended a few years ago. Is I was going through a depressive episode. And I think for them, they experienced like a loss of partner temporarily in a way that they're used to having. You know me? And that brought up a lot of different like things. So I think as a when you're dealing with someone, is acknowledging your own limitations. Acknowledging the limitations of your partner. Being open to communicating what each person needs in during the different processes of grief. And also being open to each other making mistakes in that time.
And like, I think that a lot of that comes with like people's own core beliefs around inadequacy. And so like that, that would also be a part of that advice that I would have, is trying not to center your own discomforts around someone else's experience. And just being open to hear and recognize like, this is painful for you. That's it.
Right. Simple.
But last but not least, because what are we? We all therapists.
We are going to therapy. And to be honest, like that is probably the most helpful support that I received from my therapist for sure. Because I could say to my therapist, like, the way this person showed up for me wasn't enough. And I didn't have to say that to the person, because I also knew that they were doing the best that they could. But having a therapist
that safe space
created a safe space for me to say, like, this person, this situation felt like it was not enough for me. And I know that that is related to like me having a need and not necessarily what they have to offer me.
And I think therapy find a space for you to just exist. You don't need to
expectation.
You don't need to put up a thing. You could just simply say, you show up and your therapist will provide that space for you. Even if it's a space of silence. Oh, I just don't know how to feel, you know? And I think it's just important to do that. We all sometimes have the expectation of a friend, coworker, somebody showing up for us. And people are not trained or know how to show up. Even if you teach them, it's still a sense of
uncomfortability. Or don't always have the skill set, the capacity.
And if you have a job, you also got insurance covered and you're paying for it. So
make sure that mental health is covered.
A lot of workplaces also do EAP programs. So there is definitely, and then also like there are other places like church offer grief counseling and pastoral counseling. You know, again, it could be just something as, you know, simple as you writing down what your experience is when the grief, you know, shows up, right? Like if you've lost a job, right? What did you appreciate about just getting up in the morning? Like, is it the routine? It was it just having somewhere to go, knowing what your next 8 hours
you
was
need
going
to
be
like? Because that was what I was going to say about, next.
You know, so all those things. So like, it's like things like that that I think that would be helpful for every person singularly that will help the community, the couple, the collective.
I've been hearing so much, and a lot of the conversations that we've been having in the podcast have been around like that community piece.
So community is really
this is
huge.
My community, a part of it, and I appreciate y'all, because y'all have definitely helped me with my
community is very important. Whether you're born into it, you create one. Just even a community doesn't consist of multiple people. It could literally be three people or two people. That's still a community. So being open to that, and you know, to add to your point, Steph, real quick, is to say that sitting with just understanding the experience of that death grief in terms of what did I learn from it? You know, what did I learn about myself from it? I may not know the next, but what kind of strength and weakness? Because remember, we said there's strength and weakness that I learned from this position, this relationship, and so forth. So always reconnecting back, and you hear us say values all the time.
Right, anchoring
sometimes
to those
it
values.
Is sitting down, and the value is what do I want to stand for? How mm-hmm. do I want to show up in this space in my life, whether it's come exactly. to relationship, work, space, and things like that? Sitting with that question of how do I want to show up in spaces moving forward?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then that alone is a way of understanding, like, whether it's right. the person can make the decision about ending a relationship, whether it's a job, whether it's a personal relationship, that ending doesn't mean it's my end.
For yeah. sure. And remembering that healing is not linear.
Yes.
So this will be an up and down experience.
Yes.
So finding those ways to honor it can be helpful.
Good deal. Hope we covered yes. everything regarding grief, non-death grief, and death grief as well. Yeah. But feel free to connect with us to let us know, like, what you took out of it or what you know, what was missing.
Yes. So click, subscribe follow to us. Yes. Follow us on Couch Chronicles on Instagram and TikTok. But we would love to hear from you guys more about topics and other things. But we have a lot more in the series for you guys.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks. Have a good one. Bye.
Yeah. Bye.